Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Insurance at 772-3858.
Please call the roll. Here by phone, Bob?
I am. Yes, I'm here.
John?
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Kurt.
Present.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
And Mark.
Here. Now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the meeting of November 24th, 2014. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, it's moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Loganakis to approve the meeting minutes of November 24th, 2014. Is there any changes? Are you hearing us all right, Bob?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. So, seeing none, all those in favor of the minutes of November 24th, 2014, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay.
Aye.
It passes unanimously. Today, we're looking for amendment or approval of the meeting minutes of today, December 8th, 2014.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
The agenda?
The agenda, yeah.
A second. I can't approve the minutes yet.
But well,
I can certainly approve the agenda.
I stand corrected. Any changes for today's agenda? Kurt?
Mark, did we want to put under maybe discussion item about that crane on the crane dock? That
I was going to intended to ask Glo about that if she was here under board, commission, and committee reports.
Okay.
So if otherwise, we'll discuss it if you somewhere if she doesn't come up, maybe under discussion. Any other changes to today's agenda? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we'll go through the agenda as it's presented with one addition about talk of the crane on the little crane on the drive-down dock. Not drive-down dock, but crane dock. Public hearings and bid awards. So this hearing is on the acquisition of land at Papke's Landing. Anybody in the audience want to talk about that? John? And Kathy, are you keeping this on the record, all the comments of this, so have another meeting? Okay, John.
Hi, I'm John Hogue. I'm here representing myself in a few comments on the acquisition. I think in an ideal world, it would be nice for the borough to own Papke's Landing and everything that goes with it. There's only one problem is that too many agencies own it and we can't afford it. That's two problems. So if somebody can persuade the owners to give a pot of money and then transfer it, then the pot of money is sufficient to bring it up to speed and maintain it so Glo can add it to her queendom, that would be fine. But I don't think it's going to happen. But my biggest concern is that I hate to see this borough spend 1 cent on anything other than a new police department. This is something that some of you have heard before. Bear with me for 1 second. The building is sinking. I saw the city manager's or borough manager's report that the toilets were not functioning again. I think that's due to the borough building sinking. It is probably would not pass good muster from a correctional inspection at this time. You are risking, if you don't get a plan in place to do this, I don't think you can wait for Juneau, or at least give the voters a chance to approve the bare bones addition to a police department. You are risking a horrendous expense and safety problem. You're risking transporting prisoners to Wrangell. You're risking officers be gone. Your overtime budget will skyrocket and will lead to officer burnout and turnover. And so I'd urge this assembly, when you go through the budget process, to make the first priority trying to get a new police department in place. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Any questions of Mr. Hope? On today's agenda, John, we're going to have a breakdown of funding for this building, so hopefully we can, and it is our number one priority, but thanks for your concern. Okay, any other people, any other person in, interested in being involved in the public hearing on acquisition of land at Papke's Landing? Seeing none, we have three letters that were written.
I just wanted to make sure you recognize the letters.
And I guess, is there a fourth one that has come in?
I only have gotten three.
Okay, so the letters are from Mr. Anderson. See, I made a note here. There's three letters, two letters for and one against the purchase of the mental health land so far. We're going to have another hearing about this, the second meeting in December, which is the 22nd, another public hearing. And any letters that get sent in or emails will be recognized and read into the record. Don and Charlene Anderson and Sam Bungie were in favor of it, those two letters, and George Cole was not in favor of the purchase. So that's where we stand to date. Any discussion about those letters? Okay. That's where we're at so far. Any visitors' views related to today's agenda? Seeing none. Visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda? None. Okay, we'll move on. Board, commission, and committee reports. And I was going to ask Gloria Ann to give us an update on the crane that was condemned, I guess, for the lack of the better word, by OSHA. So we only have one crane on our modified crane dock, and it'd be nice to get the second one back up and operating. So. She has some information for us.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I'd written kind of a report that I left in the printer over at the harbor office. But anyway, well, we have been, I've been soliciting outfits to give us an idea of an estimate on rebuilding quote. We have a quote from North Pacific Cranes down in Seattle for brand new 2.5-ton crane. That's 60,000 FOB Seattle. So by the time you got it here and installed it and all of that, you'd probably be looking at about 70,000. The rebuild, the outfit that's been doing the most talking to us is it's called Maximum Performance Hydraulics out of Seattle. They are the ones that are currently work mostly with Ocean Beauty and Icicle and Trident here locally on their cranes and a number of other boats in the fleet as well as outfits around Alaska. And they have been really open and talking back and forth with us about this. And he estimates from the pictures and the information I've sent down, bolt pattern and things like that, that, you know, between 25 and 30,000 is their estimate to completely rebuild and get this crane back inspected and ready to bring back to Petersburg and install. You know, the crane isn't wore out. It just needs some, it's 25 years old and it needs probably a good look-see. He can't give us a real hard and fast quote because he needs it in front of him to really be able to take a look at it. I've contacted an outfit in Oregon and they don't do hydraulic work, and I've also contacted an outfit up in Kenai that is currently doing work on the Homer facilities cranes. They have 10 cranes of various sizes like we do, and they've had a rebuild of all of them, are going through the process of rebuilding all of them, and are really happy with this outfit. And I have been talking back and forth, begging them for some kind of an estimate or a quote or an idea, and they just haven't gotten back to me. They were good at first telling me that they could do the work and they could give me, you know, an idea of the cost, but it's just been like pulling teeth to get the real information out of them. I did check in on what the shipping would be, because I figured that would be considerable, and to Seattle for the Maximum Hydraulics, it would be about $1,500 shipped right to their door. To the same up in Kenai, it would be about $7,800. So that's a factor, just getting it out of here and getting sent to the location. So I have a recommendation, a memo going to Steve here, hopefully this afternoon, requesting the authority to send it out to Seattle to Maximum Hydraulics. So it's kind of where I'm at. I'm nervous about, you know, getting it out and getting back here by Tanner's, which is, you know, we'll be loading gear end of January, first part of February. And with the knowledge after Friday, we had a meeting with Tamiko, trying to see if we were going to be in operation with our new drive down, and it looks like we probably won't be until end of February. So things are the schedule is getting further and further behind there. So anyway, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place, and that's where I'm at.
Okay, thanks. Does anybody have a question for Glow on this? You know, I've had a discussion with Gloriann about this, and now that we've got the crane dock widened and it's easier to use, and we only have one crane, I would like to see us approve this crane going to Seattle to the Maximum Performance Hydraulics to get rebuilt. It's too bad we didn't get more of a estimate from Kenai, but it's $16,000 just for freight up and back, and Seattle's four, so it seems to me like a good opportunity to get it fixed, and I believe there's extra money in the budget for the crane dock project.
I could touch on that a little bit. I had Janet run the numbers, and right now, if you remember, we got an $800,000 legislative grant, and we're currently at about $804,000 that we have that are to be paid. What do you call it? What's that word? Encumbered. Oh, she has to remind me of that. The word is encumbered. That is what is encumbered on this project. So initially, we had pledged a couple hundred thousand towards this project if need be. So we transferred at the last, when you went through and did the money transfers, that was part of transferring $100,000 towards this project. So really, I think all we need is your blessing and Steve to be able to sign off on it. I think it'll be under his amount to spend. So from the financial end, we look pretty good.
Sounds good. Any discussion, John?
Yeah, would it be appropriate to make a motion to send this crane to Seattle ASAP for rebuild?
That's kind of what we're looking for, too. Maximum Performance Hydraulics, I believe is the name of the
company. I'd like to move to that.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Havlick, seconded by Member Walhooter to ship the little crane, which was condemned by OSHA, to Maximum Performance Hydraulics to get it repaired. And I suppose we should have a dollar figure on this. Are you comfortable, Glow, with thinking that $35,000? I mean, we don't know until he gets his hands on it.
I really don't.
So I don't know how would be the best way. Nancy?
I just have one more question. What is the shipping going to be?
Well, it's one way would be
$1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kurt?
And just a follow-up comment here. It's of no use to us now. So I would think, anything under $60,000,
right.
And they assure us that because we've already got all the framing and, and it just needs to be overhauled, that we could probably, I would say, even if we do it for under $40,000, it's still something that this community needs, and I think we should get it going.
Okay. What should we put on it for a dollar figure? $60,000? That doesn't appear like it's going to be that much. That's a new one.
Yeah, if it comes anywhere close to that, then I'll come back to you and say, should we get a brand new one? Yeah.
What's a new one cost?
60.
Any more discussion on the motion on the floor? I know this wasn't on the agenda, but I think with the crane dock being completed, and it looks like it could come in within the manager's approval, and if we approve up to 60, then he's good up to that amount. With the crab season coming on here in a month and a half, it'd be nice to have two cranes.
So Cindy, let me ask one other question. Was there other intent for the residual money? And if we encumber it with this project, will we preclude something else?
It came out of our enterprise fund, and we don't have any.
I'm just trying to figure out where we should put that threshold dollar amount, whether we want it higher or lower.
Well, originally it was $200,000.
For the crane?
For the crane dock.
Money that they took and appropriated for the crane dock project if it went over the $800,000 state grant. And we've used $4,000?
Yeah.
My point is, we're not going to give that money back. We may redirect that money. If we say $60,000 goes towards the crane rebuild, then some of that money, if there's extra, is going to be tied up for the crane rebuild, where we may have something else we want to redirect it towards.
Yeah, I think we'll just use the amount up to $60,000 that we have to spend to get it rebuilt. And then
I guess I'm advocating maybe we want to bump that down to about $50,000. From what I'm hearing, that sounds like that might be enough to cover your project.
Well, what happens with the leftover money, it would be called a contingency, and it would just go back into the enterprise fund. So originally we had set aside $200,000. We've taken 100 of that 200 and actually put it towards this project, of which we've used $4,000. So anything left over would just go back
to contingency.
It is contingency.
So you're comfortable with
$60,000? Yeah, I think $60,000.
Okay.
Bob, are you hearing this conversation?
I'm hearing it now. For some reason, I lost it there for a few minutes.
We're talking about authorizing expenditure up to $60,000 to send the small crane that was condemned by the OSHA off the crane dock to Seattle and get it rebuilt. And we're kind of rough estimate, it'll be under 40 with freight to get it down and back, and a new one costs 70 to purchase and get installed.
Okay.
So anyway, any more discussion? The clerk call the roll.
Are you putting a dollar amount on it?
$60,000. Is that what we agreed on?
Yeah.
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
And Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, that passes. So we'll, Harbor Master will make arrangements to ship it south. Consent agenda. There's one item today on the consent agenda, and it's approval of the Nenana Ice Classic 2015 gaming permit. I'd entertain a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Greger to approve the Nenana Ice Classic gaming permit for 2015. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, now we have report of other officers, and Michelle Drew of BDO, our auditing firm, will provide the assembly with the fiscal year 2014 audit report via telephone. Are you there, Michelle?
Hey, can you hear me?
You're coming in well here. Yes, can you hear us? We can hear you here in the assembly chambers.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I was live streaming you to keep track of where you were on the agenda, and then I just called in hopefully right at the right moment. But getting my computer shut down gave me a little bit of feedback there for a second.
Well, you're the one making the beeps.
Yeah, just the one time.
Okay, I'm just kidding. All right, well, We're here ready for your presentation. Jody's here with us today, and the full assembly is listening.
Excellent, excellent. So because this is a teleconference, and I do tend to get rolling and talking a lot, feel free to interrupt me at any time. My name is Michelle Drew, and I am a partner at BDO, formerly a partner with McCundick Cottrell, and I was the partner in charge of the audit for the Petersburg Borough for this year. I would like to start my presentation actually by saying thank you. We do appreciate your business. We audit a lot of cities and a lot of boroughs around Alaska, but you guys are actually a pleasure to audit, not just because you have such a beautiful southeast location, but it's a real pleasure for us to come down and work with folks who care, who want to do a good job, and definitely, certainly your finance department fits that description. Jody and her folks, they do a good job and they want to do a good job and they get ready for the audit, and that definitely makes things go a lot better for us. That having been said, we do work for you, the assembly, not management and the administration. Of course, it's critical that we work effectively with management and the administration in order to affect the audit and to get it completed. But ultimately, our responsibility is to the assembly. And so with that, you know, I would just encourage you at any time, although I do feel like you're in pretty good hands, certainly with your finance department, but if you do have questions that arise throughout the year about finances or accounting-related issues, please feel free to call us at any time because we would love to have that interaction with you. I'm hoping you have two documents, and I am going to try to keep my discussion points pretty brief today in the interest of time, but two documents. The first is called the audit wrap-up, and I'm going to go over that really quickly. It's kind of a, John used to call it the housekeeping document, but it does contain certain required communications that by professional standards as your external audit, we are required to make sure that you, the assembly specifically, is aware. And then we'll talk about the actual audit itself a little bit. So jumping right in, page 3 of the audit wrap-up, just a few highlights and bullet points. We did issue an unmodified opinion. In the past, we would have called this an unqualified opinion, but basically it's a clean audit report. Everything, all the books, all the records that we requested during the course of the audit, everyone was very cooperative. All the records were made available to us, you know, at our request, and we really do appreciate the excellent cooperation that we received from everyone at Petersburg. And I'm going to throw a lot of kudos to the Accounting and Finance Department because they bear the brunt of the audit process, which is very disruptive to their day-to-day routines. We take up a lot of time and attention. But I do want to extend that thanks out to some of the departments as well because, you know, you've got some big capital projects going on. You've got electric billings. You've got harbor billings. All the folks at City Hall, all of the folks out in the outlying departments were also very cooperative and helpful to us. So we appreciate that. Over on page 5, just really quickly, at the top of the page, corrected and uncorrected misstatements. Basically, these are journal entries or how many corrections were made to the financial statements. So during the audit, we did record 6 adjusting entries to the trial balance. Now, considering your financial statements and your audit is about 146 pages or something, 6 journal entries is good. It's very good. And particularly, at least 2 of those 3 that we would consider to be significant were kind of definitely sort of unusual situations that, you know, were kind of a challenge to catch in the first place. To our knowledge, there's no uncorrected misstatements. That is to say, if we found something that we felt was incorrect or misstated, we reported it to Jody. Jody then, you know, would book the journal entry and adjust it. Although we are allowed to pass on journal entries, it's kind of our policy that if we find something wrong, we're just going to report it, and then you guys are just going to fix it because it's just easier than saying, hey, we found errors, but we didn't correct them. Down at the bottom of the page, to our knowledge, all of the disclosures that are required have been included in the financial statements, again, hence 146-odd pages financial statements. And we didn't really identify anything in the books and records that were indicative of non-accounting rules-based accounting. So there was nothing that didn't comply with the accounting rules. Over on page 6, in conjunction with the audit, we did not report any material weaknesses. For the borough proper, there were no findings reported. Because the borough does include both the hospital as well as the school district, and because the borough assembly is ultimately responsible for the overarching, what we call the primary government financial statements, I am compelled at this point to also point out the school district did report one significant deficiency in their audit having to do with accounts payable journal entry. You can get that specific detail directly from the school district. And then finally over on page 7, a number of required points, but I just want to say under disagreements with management, again, everyone was very cooperative. There were no disagreements. Everything we requested was given to us freely. I would also point out, you know, we do field work for your audit in around the August time frame, and of course, we didn't actually issue the financial statements The audit opinion date is actually November 26th, so quite a lot of time has elapsed from the point we do field work to the point we wrap it up. And I just want to point out, during that transition time, you know, the audit of the borough side was pretty much done and ready to go. But again, we can't actually issue the borough side financial statements until the audits for both the school and the hospital are completely wrapped up. And so, you know, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under any buses. I understand, you know, that in working with, because BDO also audits both the school and the hospital, the final, like, issuance of the borough financial statements was really pending finalization on the hospital side. And what I understand is they have some delays getting their Medicaid cost report completed. And so, obviously, that triggers a pretty big area for audit on the hospital record. So that's kind of where that is. With respect to the audit, the actual basic financial statements, I'm just going to point out again, hit the highlights. Page 6 and page 7, I'm just going to point out, is the management's discussion and analysis. For those of you who are not accountants, and for those of you who, you know, columns and rows of numbers on a page make your eyes glaze over, the management's discussion and analysis is a narrative format that kind of hits the highlights of what happened during the year, how it happened during the year, and what the financial implications were during the year. So for those of you who really don't like the columns and rows of just numbers, I would encourage you to read this because it does, again, hit those highlights in a more narrative-friendly format. As I already mentioned, the audit received a clean audit opinion and unmodified opinion, and that's kind of the highest report card that you can get from an external auditor. So as far as the numbers, I ask you to turn to page 26 and 27. And what we have on page 26 and 27 is just a quick snapshot of the borough's enterprise fund. And of course, you know, Petersburg has actually a number of enterprise funds. Enterprise funds, of course, being activities for which users are going to be the folks who primarily pay the revenue streams. In theory, rates should be established at a level sufficient to cover the day-to-day operating costs. Petersburg's actually one of my few clients who actually, you know, if you look at page 27 and you look in the category that says net position, on the unrestricted column or the unrestricted row, every number that I see running across the page is a positive number. And that's a pretty unique place to be. Many, many of my clients, particularly water and wastewater utilities, have a lot of deficits and negatives showing in that area. So on the whole, the Petersburg Borough for all of the enterprise funds, every enterprise fund is carrying a positive cash balance, which means these funds do in fact have cash available to fund their day-to-day operations. Of course, like every other city, like every other borough, the enterprise funds use capital assets and infrastructure to generate revenue. For example, your electric transmission lines are the thing that, you know, from which you transfer the energy down the line to the customers who then pay for it. And as a result of that, you're very, very capital intensive in the enterprise funds. This is pretty normal. So out of your entire asset base for your enterprise funds, roughly 86% of your assets are actually tied up in a non-spendable capital assets that again are not spendable. But despite that, you do have cash in every fund, which will help you with funding your day-to-day operations. On the liability side, the funds are collectively across all of the different enterprise operations. You have about $11.2 million in outstanding long-term debt, those bonds and loans. Those are being paid in scheduled payments over time. And I do understand you guys just more related to the governmental side did just go through a bond refunding related to some of, I think, your school bonds. So obviously, the Assembly is aware of the debt that's out there. Again, unrestricted equity for every single fund ended the year in a positive number. So that's a good thing. Over on page 28, you can see the results of operations for just 2014. And so there's a lot of moving parts on this schedule, so I'm just going to kind of tell you what I do. So mostly what I do is I look at the line on page 28 that says income or loss from operations right out of the gate. That's going to tell me, you know, operating revenue is what we, for all intents and purposes, what we charged our customers. Operating expenses, for the most part, are our day-to-day operating costs, and did we make money or lose money at an operating level? And you can see all of those numbers across the enterprise funds are in the negative. Now, keeping in mind that for enterprise fund-related activities, depreciation is a mandatory expense within the operating category. So in order to actually analyze how do I think each individual fund did during the year, I actually take a look down at the line item that says income or loss before contributions and transfers. And I don't look at the change in net position because obviously your grants can really, really skew this analysis. But if you take that income or loss before contributions and transfers and you add back the depreciation and then looking at the cash flow statement, subtract out the debt principal. That really will tell you whether or not what you're charging for services is really, truly covering your day-to-day hard costs. And so just really quickly, if you kind of just do that math, the electric fund does come out in the positive. The wastewater fund does come out in the positive, and both the sanitation and elderly housing fund also, which are in the non-major category, they also come out in the positive. The water fund, the Port and Harbor, and the assisted living don't. They both, all three of those funds actually end the year kind of in a negative. So if it ends in a negative, you know, what does that, you know, what does that tell me? Because we've already removed the effect of depreciation. So what it's telling me is, you know, those funds are really not quite, you know, at least for 2014, they're not covering their day-to-day actual kind of cash-out-the-door cost. The other item of interest I would point out just on page 28, the Harbor Fund actually does have a line item on there that says loss on disposal of capital, and it was a negative $650,000, and somebody might ask, you know, what is that? Specifically, that is the disposal of the old state-contributed, the North Harbor. And as you know, just in 2013-14, you have a pretty big North Harbor refurbishment process. So the old State North Harbor has been removed. The new State Harbor, or the new refurbishment project, has been added to capital assets. But the state-contributed North Harbor was only depreciated to $350,000, which is the result of this, you know, loss on disposal. It is an accounting loss. It wasn't cash-out-the-door loss. The next thing I'm going to hit is, again, really just highlight the general fund, which starts on page 68. The general fund had assets of $5.2 million. Roughly 89% of that is in cash and investments, which, again, is a very liquid fund. It's got sufficient cash to actually fund your day-to-day, you know, operating activities. The liabilities were very similar to last year, and remember, at the general fund level, at this level, we don't include the long-term debt, like associated with the school district, with the school buildings, for example. And then fund balance ended the year with $62,000 in non-spendable form. That was your prepaid insurance, and then the unassigned balance is $4.9 million. And that approximates 6 months of general fund operating activities. Over on page 69, we have the revenues. Of course, your taxes represent about 58% of your revenue stream, and they're up about 5% over 2013. In the intergovernmental category, the payment in lieu of tax was almost double what it was in 2013. Bringing your total intergovernmental revenues to about $3.3 million, roughly $3.4 million. and that's about a 23% increase over the prior year, again, with the biggest outlier being the payment in lieu of tax. Over on the expense side, which starts on page 70, sorry, total revenues are on page 70, the borough ended the year with $10.4 million in total revenues for the general fund. It's about $1 million higher than 2013 and just right at $1 million higher than you had projected in the final budget. And then on the expense side, most of the department levels actually did spend within their budgets. There were a couple of areas where we exceeded the appropriation, specifically the borough attorney's office, the information systems and finance to a small degree, and then the other category. I looked at the underlying detail. The borough attorney's office really expended over in kind of every category or line item, so payroll, contract labor, as well as your redistricting activities were a little bit over budget. And then in the other category, the over budget in the other is directly tied to the PERS relief, which is really non-cash to you. The borough did budget PERS on behalf, but the actual PERS on behalf monies that were transmitted to the Division of Retirement and Benefits on your behalf were actually higher than you guys budgeted. So there's no effect to fund balance because of that. And then the last one over on page 71 is the library fund, and it overspent by about $23,000. And that line item that was overspent was in professional services. So for total expenditures, $8.9 million. It's, you know, up a little bit from the prior year, about $386,000 higher than the prior year, but in total, definitely under budget. So if you look at the bottom of page 71, the borough ultimately did have a balanced budget and anticipated break-even, while the actual net change in fund balance was $950,000 to the positive. So then the last thing I'm just going to touch on, I'm not going to speak to specific pages, but your grants are reported in the back of this bound document. The borough spent $3.3 million in federal awards this year, and that is about 10% of your total revenue for the year. And then on the state side, state grants were $11.6 million, and that actually represents about 33% of the total revenues that went through the borough for 2014. Of course, you have some pretty big projects rolling through in 2014, specifically, again, the North Harbor deferred maintenance rehabilitation, as well as the dock drive design issues. And as I already mentioned, there were no findings reported associated with a single audit. So in short and in summary, I guess, in a nutshell, the enterprise funds have positive unrestricted equity, which is good. You know, you definitely want to keep an eye on the annual revenues and expenses and just keep an eye on those, because we want to make sure we're covering, at a minimum, trying to cover our day-to-day hard costs. And again, the general fund did good, adding, you know, $950,000 to the bottom line. The books and records were clean. It's a clean audit opinion. And, I mean, overall, I think you had a pretty good year, a pretty good year. So I know that's kind of high level and a lot of stuff in 20 minutes and a lot of pages to look at, but I would be happy to try to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Any questions of Michelle from the assembly members? John Haverlick has a question for you, Michelle.
On the clean audit area, you talked about we had a clean audit and the school district and the hospital still working on their Medicare, getting that streamed out. Do you have any idea how their audit's going?
Their audits are complete. They are complete, and both the school as well as the medical center, they did receive clean audit opinions. And so when I say the clean audit opinion, it specifically talks to, at the end of the day, following all the adjustments, are the financial statements in conformity with GAAP, in conformity with the accounting rules? And so they both received unmodified opinions. the, as far as like the single audit or what we call the yellow book audit is concerned, the school district, I think I mentioned, did have one finding reported, a significant deficiency associated with holding their AP. I believe that the hospital actually didn't have any findings reported, as far as their internal control or actual non-compliance with grants and contracts. But I do know that, again, specifically the hospital, it just isn't so much that it wasn't correct or that it didn't get a clean opinion. It just took a long time to get finalized because that Medicaid cost report wasn't complete.
Hey, thank you.
Any other questions, Michelle? I don't see any hands going up, Michelle, so... thanks for your report, and it sounds like our finance department did a great job again.
Yes, they did.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, that brings us to the mayor's report, and on the report, there's only one thing that was on the agenda, a declaration of the mayor's holiday, so half a day Christmas Eve, I think. You guys get off early and go yulebucking, so have fun. I think Mayor Dwyer was the one that started that, so we'll carry on with it. I will be gone from January 4th until the 14th, so we need to see a show of hands or whatever we need to do to see if there will be a quorum here for the meeting of January 5th, 2015. Anybody know their schedule?
I'll be here.
Okay.
I'm in
time.
I'll be here too.
I will be gone, but I'll be back on the 7th. So.
I will be traveling that day, so I don't know if I'll be able to call in. It'll be noon. No, I'll be in the air, so I won't be able to. Bob, will you be here January 5th?
I will be here.
Okay, we have plenty then for a meeting. All right. Another thing I intend to put on the agenda in the near future, I'm thinking possibly start the meeting of January 19th, is discussion of the legalization of marijuana in the state and how the borough wants to approach it. I know it would be an interesting discussion for wintertime. I'm sure there'll be a lot of views, both pro and con. But for anybody that's interested in what the state put out at AML, there was a little seminar that was how to keep out of hot water. Does marijuana legalization create liability for you, your municipality? And I believe if you Google Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Association Incorporated, you will get it. And it's a pretty good summary of the time frame and what you can and can't do, employers, you know, options for making it not allowable in the workplace, and on and on. Anyway, I think all the assembly members got a copy of this. So anyway, we'll start that discussion.
Mayor?
Yes.
Would it be possible for us to make a link back to that site for people to be able to easily access it? That's very good information. I agree with you.
I hope so. I hope people are listening. Or I've had a few people approach me on the street, and I've mentioned it to them. Whether they've found it or not, I'm not sure, but they could come to the borough office, and I bet the borough clerk could point them in the right direction. So, yeah, good point, Bob. I thought it was worthwhile information.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so that's all I have to report. Now it's time for the manager's report.
Breakfast with Santa is scheduled for Saturday, December 14th at 9 p.m. So come and bring your whole family.
A.M.?
A.M. Did I say p.m.?
Indeed.
Sorry about that. You didn't change it tonight, did you, Donnie?
Sorry. For those of you who get up late.
Yeah.
Is that in the assembly chambers?
No.
No, it's Parks and Rec.
Community gym.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. The Aquatic Center will be closed from December 14th through the 21st. This is for our annual cleaning. We basically drain the pools, clean all the tile, and wax and buff the upstairs. The fitness equipment will still be available downstairs, and we will be bringing some of the equipment down to make sure we have enough for some of the high traffic times. Public Works is still planning to try to complete the rest of the Rasmus Henge Bridge work before the Alaska DOT inspectors get here. We have one more piling to replace in addition to installation of some cross bracing. We'll see how the weather, if it continues to cooperate or not. Congratulations to the wastewater staff, Justin, Dennis, Blake, and Mike, for receiving the Small Wastewater System of the Year Award from the Alaska Rural Water Association. It's an honor and testament to their abilities and to their dedication to that area. Small systems have a real tough time because everybody has to do a little bit of everything, and so it does involve them having to be very versatile. The award was given in recognition of outstanding performance and service to their community. The South Nordic Haugen Drive project has been advertised by DOT. Bids are due to DOT by December 18th. Work is scheduled to begin soon in the spring of 2005 and will continue through 2005 and maybe into 2016 construction season. So we'll see. It's with both projects being combined, it makes it for a pretty sizable one. We've been working on an overheating problem on our Sanders hydraulic system. Luckily, the turn in the weather will help us a little bit there. We're still trying to figure out what's causing it to heat up and making it a little more reliable. So if folks see not enough sand, if we have another snow event, our apologies, but we're working on it. There is an auction scheduled for December 12th on the old motor grader. It's at 10 a.m. and it'll be a public outcry auction, so those of you interested in the grader, please be there. Over the weekend, the first three FLOTUS sections arrived. I think some folks may have seen those and seen the pictures. Tamiko has put them together and is waiting for the next shipment. They'll begin attaching the rails on the approach dock, and upland work is still ongoing with Rock and Road to develop the proper grade in the staging area. Bear Electric is also working in the uplands area for the electrical side of it. We continue to keep in contact with American Safari Cruises. For those of you not aware, they one of their ships hit the float in the Middle Harbor on Monday, September 8th. We continuing to work with them and their insurance company. We've got their permission finally for P&D to come into a site visit and do an engineer's report on the damage done. We'll see how this turns out. They only want to pay depreciated value, so we're having some arguments with them, and we'll figure out how that turns out. The harbor security vessel electrical bid is out. Bidders were invited to go to a required pre-bid inspection on 12-2 at 2 p.m. thanks to Randy Holmgren of the police department, who did the bulk of the grant work for the borough, just doing some minor improvements to the boat. We are in the finance department working on the new senior exemption cards as a result of the election. These will have expiration dates, and they will be mailed out to qualified seniors before the end of the year. Don't know, we've got a full number yet on the number of cards that were issued that no longer were applicable, but.
About 50 or 60.
So about 50, the election changed about 50 or 60 of the folks will no longer be eligible. So thank you, Jody. We are still continuing to work with PCS and the Harbor folks on moving the Harbor billing into our same program, not as a joint bill, but at least into the accounts system that allows us to send out the bills a little easier. The Harbor bills will still be separate from the utility bills, but using the same accounting system and help us with the cash receiving aspect of the process. It'll also allow Harbor users to be able to pay their bills online once this is done. We're still a couple months away to kind of do some testing and make sure everything works like it's supposed to. We have updated the Community Development Department webpage, added some commonly used forms, applications, and informational handouts for the public. This is one of the kind of a frequent request we had, and as Liz took over, she worked on that first to try to get some of those forms easier access for folks. They're also working on acquiring some borough-wide aerial imagery for use in mapping, thanks to the U.S. Forest Service. And the big thing, we've got the comprehensive plan open house meeting, and quite a few events are scheduled for this week. We have contractors are going to be here from the 9th through the 12th. They're on Wednesday. We have a daytime open house scheduled for folks who have a real hard time getting here in the evening, and that's from 10 to 12. They're then meeting with student leaders at the high school, meeting with community wellness and health focus groups from 3 to 4:30. 5 o'clock, they're having dinner at Mountain View Manor, where they'll be talking to some of our seniors up there. And then at 7, they're joining GLOW at the Pickled Herring Contest in the Sons of Norway. So we're trying to keep them busy. Thursday, 9 o'clock, they kind of meet with our main planning team. 12 to 1, they're meeting with PEDC. 1:30, the Land Selection Committee, well, that's tentative. We're trying to get confirmation on some of these. Meeting with the Harbor Advisory Board at 4. And then from 6 to 9, a real important time, that's the open house for hopefully everybody here in town to come in and ask questions and listen to them. Again, we're trying to leave the 10 to 12 on Wednesday for those folks who have a real difficult time getting here in the evening, and 6 to 9 on Thursday for those folks who it's a little easier. Again, a meeting on Friday with the full planning team, and they're out of here about noon. So it's a busy week for them. So you'll see some strangers wandering around asking a lot of questions and meeting with as many people as they can get in on this trip. And good. That's it. Unless
thanks,
questions.
Steve. Any questions of the manager on his report? Okay, seeing none, everybody understood it fully. Next thing on the agenda under old business is a resolution 2014-19, a resolution dedicating local funds to capital improvement projects approved for funding by the Alaska State Legislature in the 2016 budget. And if you go to the details, this updated spreadsheet, I guess you'd want to call it, and this would expire at the end of 2016. So, entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2014-19. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved for discussion.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt resolution 2014-19. Discussion? Nancy?
I'm not enamored of this idea. I think that when we ask the state for funding, we should just ask them for the entire amount, and if we happen to have some funding available to contribute, then contribute it. But I think the more funds we offer to the state, the fewer they will designate for us.
Okay. Thank you. Bob, do you have an opinion on resolution 2014-19?
Just a couple questions. On the pledging for the municipal building complex, on the motor pool funds, I seen where there was, I believe, $1 million coming from the general fund and then about $2 million from the motor pool fund. And I understand there's a proposal to pay that back to the motor fund if, in fact, we would use it. Am I in the ballpark?
Steve, you want to answer that?
Correct. Any money from, let's say, the motor pool fund or, you know, the electric fund or any of the others, if we use, our presentation would be that money be a loan and must be paid back.
Okay.
But again, that'll be the assembly's decision, not mine.
Understand, but I mean, you have a proposal that how it would be paid back. Is that's my question, I guess, Steve.
Yeah, we would budget general fund going forward for, you know, basically a repayment plan. And I originally had written it up as consecutively, meaning so let's say we borrowed from two different funds, we would pay one back. When that's paid back, go to do the second. So it would not be a huge hit to the general fund all at once. But we would actually budget that expenditure every year during the budgetary process to pay back that loan.
In your opinion, let me have one last question. In your opinion, then, would we be better off going with something less than what you have proposed, or do you think we're better off going with the $3.7 million that you have in there? I'm talking about possibility of getting funding. And the mayor may have a better feel on that, too.
As far as funding from the legislature this year, I'm not really optimistic. But you never know, I guess. Hopefully we could get some more funding, but if you look at the scenario that Steve's presented here, we're within borrowing the money from the general fund, a loan from the motor pool, property development fund, and we're within, you know, $1.2 million. If we can't get any of that from the state, you know, there has been discussion, I know it's kind of a raw subject with some people, about reappropriating money from the drive down dock if it comes, if it's still there when the project's done. So with this presentation, even if we don't get any money from the state, I think we're within grasp if we put everything together to go forward with this building. My opinion on this resolution is it's and I think the administration feels the same way. They're not really in favor of it. I would just as soon go with what we're going to talk about later in the meeting with the $600,000 or $900,000 we have in excess revenues this year, dedicate half of that to whatever capital project we want. And since we go through the capital projects prioritization hoops, or whatever you want to call it, with public comment and everything, we picked the police building as the number one project. I think we should dedicate all the money we can get to that. If other money comes from different funding spots in the state for, you know, education or whatever, then that should go to that pool, because it'll have to. So that's my feeling on this resolution. I think so anyway, any more discussion? And this is on resolution 2014-19. Cindy? Oh, John?
Mr. Mayor, no, I agree with what you're just saying. I think that $950,000 we have that we're going to put half toward the properties fund and half in the general fund. You know, since the police station is a priority, and I would like to see all those monies put toward this project, because as you were saying, we're about $1 million short, and that'll pretty much take care of it. You know, just putting it aside, if the state comes through with something, mm-hmm. great, we can redistribute it. But if they don't, we've pretty well got her paid for. The other thing, I guess, is a question for Steve. Redoing the estimate that they gave us about the $10 million for redoing the police station in this building, is that pretty much bare bones? Or
that's it. If I may, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. That's an estimate given to us by the architect to just say, go in, add 3% to their original cost estimates they did, that is a couple of years old now. Mm-hmm. Built into that is also a 10% contingency. So, you know, I'm as comfortable as I can be at this stage in a project that's enough money to do the project. But we won't know that until the design is finished and it's bid out and we see what kind of bids we get.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, manager or finance director?
Jody? I would just like to say that the reason why we did this was just, you know, to show as an exercise, to show how we would fund it if we didn't get the funding. I don't personally recommend pledging $4 million, say, an additional $4 million for the municipal building right now and telling the state, oh, we have another $4 million, because then we're definitely not going to get $5 million. They're only going to give us $1 million. So, yeah, I wouldn't be for approving this resolution, but we wanted to give you the idea of, if we don't get all of the funding, how we are going to propose to fund it in the future.
That's a good way you presented it.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. And so I just would like to thank you, John, for raising that issue, because that does give a better picture of where we stand and where we. I understand your concern. And I agree with Jody. I don't know that we want to play our cards on the table, but at least we know where we stand.
Okay. Bob?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think we ought to put all the cards on the table at that point in time, but I do agree with, I think John has a good idea.
Oh, using excess money from the last year's in the general fund?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, if there's no more discussion on resolution 2014-19, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll. Is there any more discussion? Okay, seeing none. Kathy, will you please call the roll?
Jay.
Nope.
Bob?
No.
Cindy?
No.
John?
No.
Mark?
No.
Kurt?
No.
And Nancy?
No.
Okay, resolution 2014-19 fails with a 7-0 vote. And now that brings us to new business. The first item under new business is ordinance number 2014-22, an ordinance providing for the cutting of green trees on borough land within service area 1 and updating language to reflect borough incorporation. This is the first reading. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Logadakis, seconded by Member Haverlick to adopt ordinance 2014-22 in its first reading. Any discussion? Cindy?
I had one for Steve. I'm trying to understand. Oh, this is saying it will apply to all borough land, not just service area 1. My first read of it was service area 1, but maybe I got
this
that
map
wrong.
Was, yeah. Carl?
Yeah. That question came up when we were developing this ordinance, and because the borough only owns property within service area 1,
okay,
it only applies to service area 1.
And I guess I'm thinking if we left the language open and we acquired lands outside of service area 1, then we wouldn't have to come back and redo an ordinance that we may. It doesn't hurt us to be more flexible in our language. Is that correct?
I think what I'm hearing is that if we acquire lands outside of service area 1, this ordinance would apply to those as well, and we wouldn't have to come back and reconsider.
Okay.
And I think that would be the case.
Okay. Do you feel that's correct, Steve?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions on this ordinance pertaining to? Yes, Bob.
I have a question, and I've asked Carl this, but there's two points of violation there on 13.16. The one has to do with refers back to chapter 1.16 of the Borough Code, which I don't have here. But in addition to that, there's a fine of $500 over and above that for cutting of a tree. And my question to Carl was earlier, and he'd answer my question, but I still have concerns in my mind is that what I don't have in front of me, I guess, is the double jeopardy thing as I see coming to chapter 1.16. And if there's a fine there or a finding there, and then in addition to that, we tack on another $500. My question is that over and above what, you know, what would be reasonable, I guess, is where I was coming from. And I can't answer my question because I don't have the information, but maybe Carl can.
Okay, we'll direct that to Carl. Is there two fines?
No, that's not the intention. And the intention was to have one fine, and the section 1.16 is the scheduled fines that we've recently implemented in the code. And so the intention was just to reference the fine in that schedule. There's no intention to double up on that. So we'll look at the language and make sure that's clear.
Okay, at what point does the attorney look at the ordinances we're moving forward and give his opinion on the language?
Before you get it, yeah.
Already.
That's already been done.
Okay, so they didn't seem to think it was a double jeopardy type situation here. It's just the $500 fine.
It did not come up in the attorney's review.
Is that a question we could ask?
Sure.
Cindy?
One little nitpicky point. So I'm looking at the ordinance, and the title of the ordinance specifically says Service Area 1. Do we want to strike those words?
We can. We sure can, yes.
Mm-hmm. On borough land.
If it makes the assembly comfortable, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you've just taken care of it. You don't have to come back and deal with it later.
So we should probably do that as an amendment to the motion and get a second and vote on that first. And so
I will amend the motion.
Is there a second for the amendment?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made to amend the original motion by Member Logadakis, seconded by Member Haverlick to strike the words Service Area 1 out of the title and anywhere else that it shows in the ordinance, I guess. So, discussion?
I don't see where exactly does it say
in the title.
Just in the title, Nancy, about the third sentence down.
This is
2014-22?
Correct.
I see allow cutting of green trees on borough land, within service area 1. I see, okay.
So that's
so
what
we just do away with the...
Mr. Mayor,
that's what they meant, yes.
Make it easier on the administration and attorneys, just that we're going to say that the ordinance is area-wide through the whole borough and we'll take care of it from there.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're just going to make it borough-wide. We're not going to... Okay. So that's the amendment we're going to make to this ordinance if we vote that way. So any more discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
This is on the amendment?
Language of the title.
Okay, the amendment. And Bob is yes. Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, the amendment to the main motion passes 7-0, and removing the language service area 1 from the title and anywhere else in the ordinance that it's down, just make it a borough-wide ordinance. So now we're back to the main motion.
As Mr. Mayor, if I may?
Yes.
Several members of the community came to me with this one. It'd be in 13.16.3030, cutting of green trees. And be the bottom of page 2, as felled trees, limbs, and all slash shall be removed from all public streets and rights of ways as soon as possible. I know it gets into the deal of state lands within our borough and we probably can't do anything about it, but several members of the community felt it important enough to bring it up to me. The examples they would use would be at the airport when state goes up there and does all the brushing and leaves piles and piles of trees just to sit and be, or along brushing the side of Mitkoff Highway where the brushing occurs and there is no cleanup mandated of that, and they wanted that frustration voiced.
Okay. So is there some way you would like to see it reworded, or you just wanted to bring that forward? I've read that.
Yeah, frankly, Mr. Mayor, I think we could write a nice resolution to the state like we have been on herbicides, pesticides, maybe in the same boat. So no, I ask for no action on the matter.
Okay.
I just wanted to bring
just
it up as a
point of interest.
Yes.
Any more discussion on the main motion for ordinance 2014-22, first reading? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2014-22 passes unanimously in its first reading. The next reading will also include a public hearing, so we'll have hopefully input from the public if anybody is concerned. Next item is resolution 2014-20, a resolution transferring 50% of fiscal year 2014 general fund surplus to the property development fund. I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2014-20.
So moved.
There's a second. Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Walherter to adopt resolution 2014-20. That resolution basically allows us to take 50% of surplus funds and put it to the property development fund. I believe the intent is to put it towards our capital projects. So any discussion? John?
Mr. Mayor, I would move to amend this to put the entire $950,000 to our property development fund.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made to put the entire balance, and I imagine, is this a resolution stays on the books then? This isn't doesn't have a sunset, doesn't go away, so that's every year?
Yeah, this is
just annual. Just we'll address this every year then?
Correct.
Okay. So motion's been made with a second. Was there a second to the motion?
I did.
Okay. Motion's been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Greger to, let me get the number right here, put all $950,730 in the general fund in the property development fund. So, discussion.
May I have a point of clarification with Member Haverlick?
Sure.
And what's the goal you're looking for?
To put this toward the police station, as we discussed earlier.
Roger.
To make up that million deficit.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Jay?
It does.
How I would like to ask the manager or the finance director how they feel about that.
Do you want to go or should I? If we take the full $950,000, it would bring the unassigned fund balance down to $4 million, which is still within the target range of $3.3 million and $4.9 million. You know, we're going to use the general fund money anyway if we need it. So really, to me, it makes no difference. So I don't know. Steve might have a different thought.
Opinion, Steve?
Agree with everything Jody just said. I think it's a nice message to send that this is a very important project to the borough. I mean, and Jody is 100% correct in the sense that the money's there anyway, and it is all general fund related. But it's I like sending nice messages to our police folks next door that we are taking this replacement of their mess very, very seriously. So.
Okay. Thanks for your reply. Jay?
So, in short, if I'm hearing you correctly, you see no financial harm from said motion?
No, there's no financial harm. I mean, I hate to call it even a proposal. The little plan that we threw forward that says how do we finance the building, we may not want to take $1 million out of the general fund now because we don't want to put the general fund in violation of our policy.
Sure.
So we might take less money. But this does no harm.
Thank you.
This doesn't take us out of our parameters.
Correct.
Right.
I just need to point out, you are in conflict with the resolution you passed before on your budget policies. That's the only thing. You're contradicting what you said you'd do.
To take
just in the future, if someone looks back and they say, well, this month they said this, and look at this, and turn around this month and said this.
And I can speak to slightly to that.
Please.
When we asked the Assembly to approve those budget policies, we didn't intend them to not bring stuff back to you every year. In other words, this ordinance here, this resolution, we're going to do this every year to you when appropriate. And even to the point of on years where it's not appropriate, we're going to bring it forward and say, we don't think we should do this, but the budget policy said, you can't, you may, and here's our recommendation. So Kathy's point's well taken. But this is one of those issues, I think, that every year is going to be a different financial situation for the borough, and we would look to the Assembly to give us guidance on that. So I don't feel bad about you going over and above this year where we have financially could do it.
Any other questions?
Mr. Ray, that was my intent of amending it, is to let people know that we're serious about our priorities. Mm-hmm. This is a need, and we're putting our money where our mouth is. And I think that's very important to communicate not only to the police station, but for the people in this whole building, mm-hmm. but especially for people in our community that, you know, and I understand we would take out of the general fund if we need it, but we're to me, this says this is our priority. We're dedicating this money to it if we have to. And we want everyone to know that we're serious about this. And if it's in the general fund, that seems a little loose that, well, maybe we can spend it for anything. And I just want to be very definite to the public that, you know, we're in support of this and we're putting our money where our support is.
Let me get back on the right page here. So, clarification from Jody or Steve, even if we do take this $900,000 and put it into the property development fund, I mean, it doesn't mean we have to spend it all, does it? So,
correct.
I mean, it's just in a different spot. So, any more discussions, Cindy?
A couple points of clarification. So you're saying allocate all that money to the property development fund or specifically allocate it to the police project?
We had discussed before about we don't want to give the message to the state that
and
we
and that have. Was the question I was going
right.
to follow with.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be safer if we put it in the property development fund.
Okay.
If we need it, it's secured and it's there for that project. But we're not broadcasting it to the state that we're putting this $1 million there or the $3 million that Steve had worked out, you know, plus. that if we need to, but we'll have it there so we can go ahead with this project if the state doesn't come through with anything. And likelihood that the state coming through with anything's pretty minimal. I mean,
doesn't look encouraging. Nancy?
Is there any special thing that has to be done in order to get it back out of the property development fund?
The assembly needs to just vote on it. Mm-hmm. Same, just reverse what you just may do today. Jody, correct?
So my view on this would be if we're going through the legislative process with the state and we find out that we do have the availability to get some money and they ask, where's your matching grant? We say, well, we have this available. So it might strengthen our hand if there's anything to be had this year. So, any more discussion on resolution 2014-20? Bob?
No question, Jed, so I understand. Well, then we show this amount available then for redoing of the municipal building in the list that we send to the state?
No, I don't think so. It's there if we... We've already sent the capital project list, I believe, to the governor's office and our lobbyist, or no?
We've sent it to the governor's office. We have not sent it to the legislature at this point.
Okay.
We have not finalized CAPSIS.
I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't hear you.
Not a problem. We've sent the list to the governor's office. We have not finalized CAPSIS, which is what goes to the legislature. That won't be done for several more weeks.
Okay, but then your thinking is we wouldn't show that we would put this contribution towards the municipal building then?
What I'm hearing from the assembly is that no, we would not show this as a contribution to the building.
Okay.
I guess that's...
Is that what I'm hearing? Thought.
That's what we've been discussing, correct?
Yeah.
I'm in agreement with John putting the money in, but it doesn't make sense to me if we're not willing to show the legislature that we're serious about, you know, that our building priorities. That was the point that was made a couple of weeks ago to me by a number of folks saying that, wait a minute, we're deleting our priorities and not showing what we really want to do. But I'm just one member here.
You know, the more I think about it, Bob, maybe it should be listed as a match when we send in CAPSIS, because I don't think we're going to get $5 million from the legislature, and it'll show good faith that we're willing to put at least this much forward.
See, I don't either. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. Took a minute to, you know, come to that decision, but that's the way I feel. Nancy, were you going to say?
We're not going to get it for sure if we offer up $1 million in addition, but... It doesn't hurt us to have it available if we need it, but I don't think we need to volunteer it before they make their decision.
So I guess this is just moving into the property development fund. At some future date, we could dedicate money as a match to that project, couldn't we? Or do you want to?
Yeah, if I could speak.
Yeah.
I thought that earlier agenda item was for this issue, right. but I pretty much, we need to know what you want done, because we've got to get this stuff CAPSIS, into CAPSIS, and I've got to get through. It takes us some couple weeks to put these books together that we give to the legislature, so
understood.
I'm kind of running out of time.
Mr. Mayor. Yeah, well, Kurt.
Just one comment on this, and I think what I'm hearing is... It's kind of like playing poker in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have probably enough cards in our hands, if push came to shove, that we could probably fund the rest of this if we had to, out of our own pockets. It would be really tight, but I think we could. I think we should just go ahead and go through this legislative session, see if they throw anything at us, and then come back and then make this decision, you know, in the summer or early summer. About dedicating our own funds to this project. So
good
I don't
point.
Think we need to put any match up. I don't think we need to do any more than we've already done. Hopefully we can see a million or two from them. It would be nice. Then we know we'd have the rest of the money then. So, I mean, that's just my feelings. I don't know how anybody else feels.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I agree, just try to get as much as we can, I guess, out of the legislature. I'm going back and forth. But anyway, right now it's just the vote is to adopt this resolution that, as amended, to put $950,730 into the property development fund from the excess from the general fund. So any more discussion on that? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
I'm trying to make it as confusing as we can for you, Kathy. Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously, Resolution 2014-20, as amended, to put $950,730 into the property development fund.
Actually, Mayor, that was just the amendment.
Oh, that was just amendment. Okay, now we'll vote on the main motion, as amended. Discussion? All those in favor of clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes.
The motion passes as amended to put the full amount in the property development fund. Okay, I must be getting hungry. I'm not thinking straight. Okay, Resolution 2014-21, Fiscal Year 2015 Fisheries Business Tax Program, an alternative method. Entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2014-21.
So move.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt Resolution 2014-21. So, discussion?
Question, what is this, the fish tax?
Do you want to explain it? This is the shared fisheries.
Yeah, this
different.
Is the shared fisheries business tax. It's to provide for an annual sharing of fish tax collected outside municipal boundaries.
How is it?
It's not the big $1 million, it's like $20,000.
Nancy?
Who collects it?
Well, the state.
The state.
Can you give a brief summary, Jordy, of what the difference? I mean, the one is, the one that we just divvied up is the one that...
Or do you want me to do it? Go for it.
Comes from directly to the city for prop, from fish that's sold there?
Yeah, this,
and
this
is
not that one. This
no,
is
this
the
isn't.
One that for the guys that come to our neighborhood to buy fish that don't have a plant in this region. They come from outside and they're processors, that kind of thing. And so it gets split between us, Wrangell Cake, I think are the three places.
Kaufman Cove, Cake, Kuprnoff, Pelican, Petersburg, Borough, Port Alexander, Sitka, and Wrangell. So what the state does is they stick us, there's 19 fisheries management areas okay. in Alaska, and that's our area. And then it's the fish that's the tax that's collected within that area. And then what they're doing is they're taking 50% of that and allocating it evenly between our communities, and then the other half they're allocating by population.
And that's what this resolution says. Is that
yes,
how
that's
how
what
it?
We're this is these communities that I just mentioned, we well, when they started this program, they decided together, okay, this is how we're gonna do it in our management area. Mm-hmm. And we agreed to that. And so just every year we have to pass okay. this resolution to tell the state this is how we're doing it. It's just a paperwork thing that we have to do every year.
Okay. Is that a good explanation? Any more discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Cindy?
Yes.
Resolution 2014-21 passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is ratification of Manager Giesbrecht's appointment of Deborah K. Thompson to the borough clerk's position effective March 1st, 2015 at the annual salary of $68,000. I will entertain a motion to ratify the manager's appointment.
So moved.
Second.
Unanimous. Everybody made a motion, everybody seconded it. So pick somebody, Kathy. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
And Mark?
Yes. And
congratulations.
Debbie, did you want to?
Congratulations, Debbie.
Congratulations, Debbie.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank every one of you, Kathy, Steve, and Mayor Mark, and every assembly member for this opportunity to be your next clerk. I appreciate it. We're going to miss Kathy terribly, but I will do my very best for every citizen of the borough. So
thank
thanks.
You. Okay, yeah. Next item on the agenda is communications. I don't have any. Anybody else? Assembly discussion items, recognitions. I would like to recognize Matt Briner for, I call him Mr. Christmas here lately when I see him, for decorating the tree downtown, and I believe that he was involved in the library and some neighborhood help here and there. So anyway, thanks, Matt, for brightening up our day. Any other recognitions? Nancy?
I'd like to recognize the snow removal people and the electrical people that kept us, kept our roads clear and lighted. I saw electrical people out early in the morning fixing street lights, and I didn't have giant berms in front of my house. I was very happy to be able to just drive out of my spot without, and quite a bit of snow fell all at once. So thank you.
Any other recognitions by staff or Carl?
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to reiterate Steve's...
1 second, Bob, please.
Okay. I'd like to reiterate Steve's congratulations of the wastewater staff. Those guys do an outstanding job every day of the year, and it's really nice for them to get this award from the Alaska Rural Water Association. It was something that we weren't expecting, kind of showed up, but it's very nice and really speaks to their dedication to the borough.
All right, yeah, good job, guys. Bob, you had a comment or a recognition?
I do. I'd like to thank the snow removal crew. Particularly, I think it was Mr. Odegaard was out there. I had a couple come to me and really very much appreciation. They got themselves in a lot of trouble in that snowstorm, and the snow removal crew out there helped them out quite a bit. And I certainly appreciate what they've done from what these folks have told me. So thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Bob, for that input. Any other recognitions? I don't see any hands going up. So that brings us to the last item on the agenda before adjournment, borough services and or borough service areas. Has there been any written information on this, Kathy? Any interest?
No, sir.
Nope. How long is this going to be on the agenda again?
Last meeting and it's done.
Okay.
The next meeting.
So any discussion on this? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand, and thirded by Mr. Walhuter to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The meeting is adjourned.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Insurance at 772-3858.